You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, May 22nd. And more importantly, that means it is the birthday for Matt Modica. Happy birthday, Maddie.
Happy birthday, Maddie Mo.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Alongside the birthday boy, Matt Modica, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Scott Engel, I'm Greg Sussman. 2 hours, and then it's time for the OG's old school fantasy. What's going on, everybody? How was your weekend, Matt? How was birthday weekend?
Birthday weekend was good. My wife made her first appearance on FNTSY Radio.
Hey! She came through?
Yeah, she came by. Yesterday, spent the day with Mom. You know, did a little celebration.
I love it. I love it. It sounds good. I like the family atmosphere. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. It's nice. Family friendly. It's pretty good. Scott, how was your weekend?
I did spend some time with family. Yes, visited my brother yesterday. Went to Mets Angels and went to the movies. Saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, you finally saw it?
Yes.
How was it? Expectations?
It was very good. Very good. I liked the first one a little better, but a lot of wisecracking and a lot of action. And I didn't even know Sylvester Stallone was in the movie until I saw the opening credits.
Well, spoiler alert, yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
Corey.
What's up?
How you doing, man? How's your weekend?
I ain't do nothing. Not a thing. Not a thing at all. Nah, I got you know what I'm saying, I got pretty deep into the rankings this weekend.
Yeah.
Watched some basketball, even though everybody was getting blown out until last night. You know what I mean? So it was, you know, just productive, just getting ready to turn the page for football, you feel what I'm saying? Got my waivers done in Tout Wars. I didn't know if you knew I was a part of Tout Wars. You heard about this?
Yeah, no.
It's a big deal. This is a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Since when, though?
Yeah. This happened back in March. Huh. Yeah, wow. So this is a big deal. So yeah, I had to get myself together for that. Battling Adam Ronis for eighth place right now. Yeah, but it's a start. There's still plenty of baseball left to be played. What, this is week 8 right here?
Yeah, we still got over still
week, nine. Yeah, week 9. Yeah.
This is week 9 right here.
17 left.
You know, Tim McCullough has the planner. The Week 9 Planner is live in the RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball package. Promo code free radio at checkout. Get yourself a little discount. Feel what I'm saying? And then you go in there and you win your championship.
Mike Fulton-Evich with 2 starts this week. I love him. Pittsburgh.
He's my favorite. I like, that's my favorite last name in the majors.
Nice.
I'm going to change my name to Corey Fulton-Evich.
the fantasy Fulton-Evich.
It's got a nice ring to the fantasy.
I do like that.
Yeah.
It's warm in here.
Yeah. Africa hot.
Sure. It's close to the equator.
I feel like the air's kicked on now.
I hope something happens so I don't fall out in here.
We're on TV,
on YouTube live, so if I fall out, the audience would be like, oh my God, the fantasy executive fell out.
Yeah. I got you. Don't worry.
Well, it's more of a reason to watch.
Why don't you just unzip this monster sweatshirt you have on?
Well, it's overcast outside in New York City. Right. So I came into work like this. I don't want to start taking my clothes off and then.
Well, it's YouTube live. That's what we want to see.
But if I. Yeah, but I don't want my wife to get a look at me and be like,
What's that Twitter account? Yeah. Slide right in there. Yeah. I take a break. We're going to come back and a lot of headlines to get to, including LeBron losing without Isaiah Thomas. Interesting. Take a break. Road Rush for the Morning continues right after this.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr.
Modica.
Mr. CTM Baseball.
Happy birthday to you. There you go. Happy birthday, Matt.
I like that one.
You like that one from Marilyn Monroe.
I even got the cufflings going on.
Wow. You were really living it up. But you put the long sleeve shirt back on now. I mean, given the weather in this room.
I did wear a t-shirt on Saturday.
It's like back-to-back
and
days.
It was
t-shirts.
Like cold. I walked out of my apartment building like 6:30 in the morning. It rained.
Well, you know,
so I walked up the block.
Yeah, it happened.
Well, you know, it was crazy. It was so hot Friday. And then Saturday, for me, I was in a dunk tank on Saturday.
Why were you doing in the dunk tank?
I was put in there for Relay for Life purposes, you know, to try to get people to throw a ball at me.
Yeah.
You know, and then I was in a dunk tank for like an hour, and it was freezing. And yeah. I think I probably got sick from it. I'm not sick, but I just assume I'm going to be sick. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Did anybody dunk you?
Yeah.
A couple times?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Were you egging on the crowd, like? Were you making wisecracks?
No, it was too cold. I was like, I don't want to go in.
You ever go to a carnival and there's like that clown like insulting everybody as they walk by?
Yeah. Greg, yeah. Did you wear a Speedo?
No.
No. I was wondering what your swimwear of choice was.
It was a
Banana Republic.
You had a
Speaking of clowns, the circus closed for good, Ringling
Brothers. Yeah, the Ringling Brothers joint went down. I've seen that joint many years, yeah. They wrapped it up last night. I guess the circus business is dangerous. You know, you got the animals and
they don't pay people a lot, I don't think.
I was never a fan of the circus.
Never did it for me either, to be honest with you. Hey,
I'm in the contortionist. Like those dudes that do all that crazy stuff with their body.
It doesn't really do it for me either. So last night we just talked about during the break, and you couldn't even believe it, Matt, when you read that the Cavs lost to Boston without Isaiah Thomas. It's crazy. Because I was putting down, putting up the show for today. I was like, I want to talk about how the Celtics are just giving up by benching Isaiah Thomas and saying, you know what, go get healthy now, it's whatever, it doesn't matter. And then they come out and kind of just screw all that up and win this game. Corey, what happened?
Celtic pride kicked in. They was obviously after that 40-point beatdown they took at the end of last week, they decided the Celtic pride was going to kick in, and they went into Cleveland. LeBron James played horrible, probably one of his worst postseason game ever. Avery Bradley hits a big shot at the buzzer, so they step away with a 111-108 victory, send it to game four, which they'll get destroyed in game four.
Yeah, Marcus Smart playing the game of his life, career-high 27 points.
Yeah.
And the Celtics had to do things differently, Corey, without Isaiah Thomas a lot.
Yeah.
You know, no one-guy isolation, moving the ball around.
Yeah.
Defensively, there was less switching, so they turned into a different team. And on CBSSports.com this morning, there was a really good article from it, I believe from Matt Moore, where he said, okay, are the Celtics better without Isaiah? No, they were just different. And, you know, maybe that's what threw Cleveland off. It was a different look that was coming.
Well, LeBron James had 11 points. It really doesn't have anything to do with
it. Well, I'm saying, though, defensively, though, you're not getting as many mismatches when you don't have Isaiah Thomas in there.
This is true.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Like I said, I was ready to come on and be like, wow, neither of these teams are going to lose a game before the finals. It's really exciting. It's the first time it'll ever happen. And then this happens. You know, I was thinking yesterday, I don't know who I'm rooting for in the finals.
Oh, come on, Greg. Don't start that foolishness. This is Dub Nation.
You know,
this but aren't you like a big LeBron guy, too?
So oh, I love LeBron. I love LeBron James, but this is Dub Nation.
I don't know.
We're Dub Nation.
You are Dub Nation, which
no,
is fine.
No, we're all in this together. What the hell are you talking about?
You've been in Dub Nation for about 10 minutes.
Stop it, Scott. It's the truth. Same 10 minutes you've been in Seattle.
You're New York Knickerbockers.
You're New York Jets.
I have been a Seahawks fan since 1984. Since you have never seen me wear any colors.
Who was the coach in 1984?
Chuck Knox.
Who was the starting quarterback?
Dave Craig. You have never seen me wear any other colors since you've known me. You have golden fake.
Nevertheless, yeah, I just don't know who I'm rooting for.
I'm kind of rooting for a reverse of last year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how Golden State was up 3-1. Hope Cleveland goes up 3-1.
And Golden State comes back to win. Yeah,
make
that.
It interesting.
I'm not going to root for anyone. I just want to see a really good series. But if I had to pick a team, I prefer Cleveland just to see you go back to being the Knicks fan that you are.
Well, it's interesting. So you say you're not rooting for everyone, but you just said you're rooting for Cleveland.
No, I said prefer.
So we've had this conversation.
I'm not going to sit there and go, "Let's go, Cleveland." You know,
but like at the end of the game, you want LeBron to hit the shot, not miss the shot. You want him to hit it.
If he doesn't make it though, it's not going to bother me. You know,
I'm not rooting for him to make it.
I'm not rooting for anybody. It's just like if it ends up that Golden State loses, good. If they don't, you know, whatever. You're still a fake.
But you still, if you had to root for someone, you choose.
I'm not rooting for anybody.
It just makes it more interesting.
Agreed.
I was going to be a great final. I want to see good basketball. Besides for me busting your chops, forget it.
Yeah,
truly, I just want to see good basketball. If my team's not playing in it, I never root for anybody.
Yeah, and I always find that logic astounding to me, much like your matchup logic. Like for me, when I'm watching a game, whether it's a football game, baseball game, or whatever game, I just inherently wind up rooting for somebody. I know you don't. You told me that before.
I don't. You know, there's, you know, yeah. it's just, but you know, you're... mature enough of a guy to know that, you know, it's like not everybody does the same thing, you know?
He don't root for nobody. He don't watch live scoring. He don't check
Corey,
the standings.
Corey's not grown
diss.
Up.
He don't
dad. See, Corey's not
I'm
grown up.
I'm a grown
up.
Man, dog.
You can't
I'm a grown
perceive,
man, dog.
You can't
I'm a
perceive
grown
that
man,
people
dog.
Will do differently,
grown
things differently
man.
Than
yeah,
you.
All right,
dog.
All right.
You're
I'm
a man child. That's
yeah,
what
I'm
you are.
A
man child.
I got your man child right here.
Yeah, little man child. That's the child part.
Isn't that why, like, gambling was created? So we can pick a side on like
there you
things
go,
we have
man.
No interest in.
Scott put
no, I don't
Scott
root for
put
anybody.
$10 on the Warriors.
My team's
come on.
Not in it. I, you know, I don't care. I want to watch it. I want to see a good game. I'm a fan of the sport, but I don't care who wins if my team is
this?
Not there.
How about this? You and Corey bet a lap dance. He takes the dubs.
I'm not going to give him no lap dance.
Well, not much.
Oh, is a lap dance from Corey? Because then I'm definitely rooting for Cleveland.
Provide that service.
Oh, provide.
I'm
oh, okay.
The one to use it. Yeah.
If it's from him, I ain't rooting for anybody.
No, but I think that makes it interesting. I see your eyes light up.
I put a table dance on it. I got the dubs.
A dub dance.
You're cleansing, man.
Scott, I mean, Greg. this is the finals. Game 7 of the finals wouldn't be till Father's Day, so we got time.
All right.
Well, how long do you think you can last on the Sealy diet?
It's tough. It's tough. I'll be honest with you. And then sundress season is coming, so it's getting even tougher.
I don't think you need to go on a diet.
At least this week is raining.
Exactly. I don't have to worry about it too much this week.
Hey, speaking before we wrap up basketball, did you see this Kristaps Porzingis thing?
What'd he do?
So, like, Phil kind of, like, sat down with his Kristaps brother. He's like, listen, like, what can I do to help you? And he's like, well, you should stop being an idiot, basically. And then Phil went and fired Kristaps Porzingis, his favorite assistant on the staff.
I'm so sick of this man. I am so sick of Phil Jackson.
They gotta run this guy out of town.
They have to get him out of here.
Did Porzingis leave for the offseason?
Oh, yeah, him too.
Didn't he was supposed to have like a postseason meeting with the team and he left an exit interview and he left the country without having the exit interview.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
They're gonna run the pros guard. They trying to run Melo.
Yep.
And isn't going to look, the only person going to be left is Phil Jackson, old ass.
Hey, but hey, then he can run the triangle.
But hasn't this been going on for the Knicks for like 20 years now almost?
Yeah, it's been 20 years. Yeah. This is. I'd rather have Isaiah Thomas than Phil Jackson. That's real talk.
Because I feel like Isaiah Thomas tried.
Yeah.
Like he was trying different things. This guy doesn't try anything.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't be talking to the ladies that work at Madison Square Garden like that.
No, first and foremost.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so... Yeah, but now they're gonna run Porzingis. They just make it's a mess, and Phil Jackson's horrible. He's a terrible human being.
Yeah,
the problem
Phil Jackson
is
and
ownership
Kurt Schilling
is not going to change.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. James Dolan's still there. He's not getting rid of it.
He's not going to be like with the Rangers and be hands off.
There needs to be a revolution at Madison Square Garden. Well, you know who they should get to be the GM? LaVar Ball.
Can't they like trade Melo and say the eighth
that'd
pick
be like
for something
Phil
good? Like, is there any way they can?
Everybody
do that?
Knows they want to get rid of him. But so no one's going to trade for him.
But I'm saying add the eighth overall pick in there and try and get some like
for who?
Younger. I don't know.
Oh, the eighth pick. I'm whatever. They're a disaster.
It's a deep draft though, isn't it? This year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, the problem is not the draft. It's the person making the picks in
yes,
the draft.
Yes, exactly. But
you know what?
He said in the media last week, "We do a good job."
Yeah, he actually went to the combine this year.
That
was nice.
Oh, that was yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. You're making $42 billion. You might as well do something. Sit on your old ass.
Well, he was on record last year saying that he wouldn't have taken. Well, not the year before. He wouldn't have taken Porzingis with the fourth pick. So
disaster.
That pretty much tells you everything.
So he needs to grab a whistle or leave. Grab a whistle, sit your ass on the bench and coach the team, or go back to Los Angeles with that woman. She
no,
don't want
up.
You either.
They
yeah,
broke up. Yeah.
Good and for her. Genie. Good for her.
She's just magic.
Yeah, good for her.
You're making it personal now.
Huh?
You're making it personal.
I know.
Now.
Well, she left him. I didn't.
Yeah,
she know more. She know
that's
what
not
we.
True. You left him too. You're worse.
Yeah, I know. I did.
You
I left
him
too.
Left him.
Yeah. He's toxic.
as a coach. Come on.
He's toxic.
As an executive.
What? He's toxic.
Yeah. Nothing to do with his personal life.
You know what?
I'm quite sure. She's like, I can't stand this asshole.
Zen nonsense.
Yeah.
I will 100% get personal here, Scott.
Yeah, you make a point there, Sussman.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. The other headlines we're going to get to here, after the break, it seems like a closer has been chosen in Washington.
I don't want any part of this.
It seems like a closer has been chosen in Seattle.
Here we go with these closers.
It seems like Dallas Keuchel is hurt.
Oh, no.
It seems like Matt Adams is hurt or a different team. And I have a great story that's going to make Corey laugh about the Mets.
Oh, I love it. I love laughing at the Mets.
We'll do it all when we return here on the Road to Experts in the Morning.
This that right. Poppy Greg Sussman music.
This is Britney Spears. This is good. All right.
It's got jamming to it, though.
Corey.
Hey.
I'm going to give you the option.
Right? Of what?
Choose your own adventure, right?
All right.
So we have a official closer in Washington.
Okay.
We have seemingly an official closer in Seattle, I believe. We'll get to that in a second. We have a trade.
In what?
In baseball.
Okay.
There's no trades in anywhere else at the moment. We have Dallas Keuchel going on the DL.
Not the Dallas Cowboys.
No, Dallas Keuchel.
Okay.
And then we have a funny story about the Mets. What should you like to talk about?
The funny story about the Mets.
Okay.
I'm surprised you weren't aware of it, because since you were so aware of everything they do.
I'm surprised you weren't aware of it, because you're so aware of everything they do.
So that's, you don't have any response except to do a mock voice. I guess you lost the race.
Gregory, can we hear the story about the Mets?
Absolutely. So
his name is not Gregory, by the way.
So it was on Saturday. Or Saturday or Sunday? It was Saturday, I think. And the Mets were up a bunch of runs.
Okay.
They get to the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they get to the ninth inning. Mike Trout comes.
Oh, boy. This is the walk-off grand slam?
The bases are loaded.
How about this? The bases are loaded for Mike.
Nobody out.
I can't wait till the ending of this.
How much? What was the score?
I believe it was 9. It was 7-4. The Angels were down.
So the Angels down 7-4.
Mike Trout's out with the bases loaded.
This might sound crazy. I'd have considered walking here.
And that's what Terry Collins thought about doing.
What? It makes sense.
And there you go. Terry Collins thought about walking him, giving him the Barry Bonds treatment. And his first thought was, listen, I don't want to pitch to Mike Trout.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk him. And then he's like, you know what? No.
He pitched to him?
I'm going to pitch to him.
Oh, man. I wish they'd have. Oh, man. And then, Mike, they didn't win.
He allowed a sack fly. Tried a sack fly. Made it 7-5. Then Addison Reed got out of it, and the Mets won.
Oh, look at that.
Sorry to spoil that for you.
Yeah. They should have walked him.
That was a white knuckler. He was 7-2 going into the night.
Yeah. Addison Reed struggling, huh?
The whole Met team is struggling, except for Conforto on the ground.
Conforto
actually
pretty
was pretty Wheeler, just bad getting up to greed, as it has been.
You was at that game. That's the game you was at, Scott?
No, I was there Friday.
They lost that one?
No.
Okay, they won.
The Grom.
Shocking.
The Grom, which actually they took 2 or 3. So wow. You followed him so much, you know, you're so aware of him. I thought you'd know. DeGrom pitched very good Friday night. Despite all everything that's going bad for the Mets, you know, DeGrom every 5 days. And for your fantasy teams, he's been really solid.
You say that, and I remember, I believe he had a blister in this game. Wound up getting out of the bases loaded jam on Friday.
Yeah.
And then wound up leaving, had a blister. There's a chance he'll be pushed back a day. We'll insert Gazelman into the rotation this week. Be pushed back a day, along with Wheeler. We pitched a bunch of pitches, of course, over the weekend.
Wheeler walked 5 in his start. You know, he's like not allowing runs, but the control here and there is a little disturbing.
Normally, this wouldn't be an issue where I push the guy back a day, but it's the Mets. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if DeGrom has a broken finger.
Yeah, I mean, I actually picked up a couple of shares of Robert Gazelman this weekend.
Really?
He looked pretty good in the bullpen. It's been the command and control that's really hurt him this season. What is it, Hansel Robles in like his last two appearances? He got up like 12 runs.
Yeah, anytime Rafael Montero gets in there, it's just like, and Tommy Malone is just like, why did they pick that guy?
So you
up?
Guys aren't concerned about DeGrom's blister?
I'm going to try and remain optimistic.
I hear they pushed him back one day. You know, blisters are usually not a major thing. Although,
that's Rich Hill.
We just saw that, we just saw Taiwan Walker go on the DL with one, but I'm not in panic mode yet. I'm going to leave my lineup for this week.
See, like what Dr. A told us about blisters is it depends on where the blister is located at.
Right. Where is this blister located?
I wasn't in the clubhouse, Scott. You
got a
clubhouse.
Damn skeleton, and you're always talking about how guys look should be out. We should know where the blister is.
I haven't examined this New York Metropolitan pitcher. But if the blister is a part is like wherever
it's
at
on his
hand,
ring finger.
It's on his ring finger. But if it makes contact with the ball, then that's when it hurts, and that's when you have to sit out. But if it's not making contact with the ball, he'll be fine.
I don't know if the ring finger is something that, like, major concern for me, but I could
where,
be
where
wrong.
Are Rich Hill's blisters?
See, Rich Hill's blister was at the top, was at the tip of his finger. So when he grabbed
that's
the ball.
That's where Aaron Sanchez is, too,
so
right?
When
he grabs, about to mention that. That's the third time he's now in the DL this season.
So when he grabs the ball, it creates that pain because the blister's right there.
Plus, Rich Hill, you know, does unique things with the baseball, too.
Like what?
You know, just like he's like a trickster.
Really?
Yeah. You know,
like Curly Neal?
What? Sort of, yeah. Curly Neal in a baseball cap. You know, Rich Hill's not blowing people away. You know, he's throwing all
kinds
of
off-speed
junk.
He's got that crazy good curveball.
Yeah.
The line for Jake DeGrom, 7 innings, 4 hits, 9 Ks. He did not allow a run on Friday. Pretty damn good.
Impressive.
Pretty damn good. All right. Next, choose your own adventure. King.
Oh, let's go. What do you want?
What do we got there?
We got the...
Oh, I know which one.
Okay.
The Nationals have a new closer.
Somebody
Greg Sussman wanted no part of.
The Nationals have a closer, and his name is Coda Glover. Glover, after pitching on warming up on Tuesday for a safe situation, Nationals scored a run. He came in anyway in a 4-run situation the ninth, gets through it, no problem. He does not pitch Tuesday. He doesn't pitch Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Why? Because there's no safe situation for Coda Glover. Yesterday, he comes in the eighth to protect the lead, comes back in from the ninth, picks up the save. They saved him. They saved Glover for this exact moment, and it is clear that Coda Glover right now is the guy in Washington.
Don't
right,
you wish
right
you had pushed a dollar on him a couple weeks ago?
I have him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's going to my lineup this week over Jason Vargas, who scares the hell out of me at Yankee Stadium, because the Yankees always kick Jason Vargas as you know what.
But...
There you go.
I believe the term is ass.
Yeah. Same thing.
Okay. Yeah.
But
Coda maximum.
the doctor term, right?
Yes.
The glutes. Right? But Coda Glover yesterday came in and put out the fire in the eighth inning. They let him stay in for the ninth, gave up one hit, shut the door. Until they acquire somebody, this is the guy that you want in Washington. I was saying it for weeks. You know, eventually he's going to get a shot. This is going to be the guy. I don't know how long he's going to be the guy, but, you know, he's a closer of the future. Maybe the future is now. And what the Nationals are doing is saying, okay, if this guy can hold it down, maybe we don't need to make a deal. I think they're going to examine it. It's going to be a very interesting about 2-week period.
Scott has been 100% right. He's been on Coda Glover. We've got to give him props for that. I found it interesting. In our RotoWire online challenge that I partnered with Vlad Sedler.
Shout out to Vlad. Me and Vlad, I'm doing a draft with Vlad this week.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, me and Vlad are currently 8th overall. He's got another team that's 3rd overall, too, so shout out to him. But we put $100 on Coda Glover, dropping Brandon Maurer. No, there was zero runner-up bid. It's kind of like
crazy.
Last week with Jose Berrios. You put like $200 on him.
Barrios!
Say! Don't say it.
Please be careful.
So yeah, that's weird that nobody was in on the Nats closer. Like I said, I grabbed him last week because I was desperate, given in Edwin Diaz's struggles. We'll get to that in just a second. One thing I do want to note about the Nationals, though, Steven Strasburg, 7 2/3, 11 strikeouts, allowed a couple of runs. Mm-hmm. This is a name I have not mentioned. It seems like in weeks, Strasburg. Like, he's kind of just been, I guess, doing his thing. The ERA on the year for Strasburg sits at 3.28. Modica, Strasburg is 5-1. Is he just having this underrated great season that I just haven't paid attention to?
I think so. I think, you know, it's all about health for him. If he can get to that 200-inning limit, then you're going to have... I mean, he could possibly be an NL Cy Young Award winner. I mean, the skills are there. The changeup is his whiff pitch, but the curveball, as I think ESPN tweeted it out or something last night, he got 8 out of the 11 strikeouts on the curveball, tons of swing and misses on that. So he's changed his delivery, pitching out of the stretch now. So it's all about health.
It's Scotty, good, it's good that you bring it up, though, because this is what happens. This is what's good you bring it up. Is like guys live up to expectations, and we don't talk about them. We talk about the storylines where guys are underachieving or overachieving a lot. It's a good thing you bring up Strasburg, because this was Strasburg last year before he got hurt. Now, I was at Citi Field on Friday when Mike Trout was in town, and some of the buzz was from guys like Ken Rosenthal, etc., is that nobody's talking about Trout just because he's doing so damn great, and he might be having his best season ever. So, you know, this is who Strasburg is when he's healthy. The only storyline we get is he gets hurt, Greg.
Yeah, but that happened last season. He was like,
he was spectacular. Yeah, he was spectacular.
12-1.
Yeah, this is what we expect.
And the one thing real quick about Mike Trout this weekend, it was really nice to see that MLB put him on a primetime game.
Yep.
And, you know, this is a guy that should be posted all over the
place. 100%.
And I got to say, you know, like I talked about how David Wright is like, you know, just gives everybody time, and he's like one of the best athletes around. Trout is right along those lines. It's like there were so many fans that came out to Queens this weekend to see Mike Trout, and Mike Trout tried to give every fan quality time. I respect that.
Wow. Well, he is Mickey Mantle.
QT.
I did Friday afternoon. I did the show with Gabe, and we were going over it. We had the stats, and pretty much through age 25, and he still has like 115 games to go, they are pretty much neck and neck.
How come I'm never on with Gabe? They always call everybody else get a shot to go talk to Gabe, and then Gabe don't ever want to holler at me.
Corey, who would you rather have the rest of the season, Jake DeGrom or Steven Strasburg?
That's a tough one right there. Because both of them is beasts, but both of them you worry about the injury concerns. I think with Strasburg, you feel like you know what's coming at some point. He is killing right now, though, but...
With any Met pitcher, it could be coming at some point. Mm-hmm.
I know. The same thing with Strasburg, though. Just give me Strasburg, and I'll chalk it up, and I'll roll with Strasburg. You feel what I'm saying? But these are two guys that are very, very injury risk. Obviously, me knowing that from last year, Modica, that was very painful going down the stretch.
It's interesting, Modica, because this is the decision I know I had on draft day, and it was two guys that I think are very, very comparable back in March. But given that we're May 22nd now, who would you rather have rest of the season, Jake DeGrom or Steven Strasburg?
Draft day, I chose DeGrom. Right now, it's like a coin toss, like Corey said. Maybe I go Strasburg for the fact that he has the better team.
118 pitches yesterday, Scott, for Strasburg. You know, Dusty's just letting him fly, which is probably not great. Who would you rather have the rest of the season, Dusty Baker's
what
Steven Strasburg?
Strasburg has five wins DeGrom. Right now? Right?
Yes.
Like Lamb had his third. We can't chase wins, but Strasburg is on the better team. That's a tiebreaker for me. I think we'll get more victories. Both guys are injury risks, I think.
The Nationals are a better team than the Mets?
Yeah.
Oh,
Jake DeGrom, more strikeouts right now.
Yankee fan.
Steven Strasburg. We'll take a break. Matt Modica will choose his own adventure.
Nice.
When we return on the Road to Experts in the Morning.
Why are you beating on your chest like that, Scotty? Turn your microphone on.
We'll just wait for you. Now he's under.
King Kong ain't got a damn thing.
Because that's authentic Gene Simmons.
Oh, okay.
That was not where his hands were a moment ago. Hey, back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, Modica, it's time for you, sir, to choose your own adventure.
Oh, this is so much fun. I want to choose again, too.
You want to choose again, too?
Yep. Yeah.
I can allow that.
I like how you make everything like a game show.
It's more fun. All right, Matty Mo, choose your own adventure. Where are we going? Are we talking about Edwin Diaz and Seattle? Are we talking about the Matt Adams trade to Atlanta? Are we talking about Dallas Keuchel and the pinched nerve in his neck, or new addition to the Choose Your Own Adventure, or are we talking about the Chiz?
I'm going to stick with the Edwin Diaz one. I feel obligated to, being that I do have some shares of Edwin Diaz. I paid a high price for him.
We'll stick with Edwin Diaz. Now, it was very funny, because I believe it was Friday, might have been Thursday, that Edwin Diaz comes in the game, and he comes in the game not in a low leverage situation. Comes to the game in the eighth inning. This game in the eighth inning is a 1-1 ball game, and here comes Edwin Diaz. Pitches quite well in that eighth inning. Let a hit, but whatever. What happens next? Here comes Edwin Diaz, back out for the ninth. And when you, sir, are home in a tie game, what happens? You bring in your closer. And what did the Mariners do? They stuck with Edwin Diaz in the ninth inning. And what did Edwin Diaz do? He got out of it, no problem. Struck out a couple guys. Two innings pitch, two hits, two strikeouts. All good. Tony Zick comes in an inning later. Ball game, Mariners lose. Now, we said it earlier last week that where Nick Vincent was pitching, he could be constituted as a closer. James Peixotes got a save ultimately because he pitched a couple innings. And once I saw that, what happened on Friday night, I was like, you know what? They don't want anybody to be the closer of this team except for Edwin Diaz. Now, when asked about it over the weekend, Scott Service is like, listen, we're close. I'd like to see one more clean appearance until we make it a closer again. I'll tell you this. If the Mariners have a safe situation tonight, it's going to be Edwin Diaz coming in for the ninth inning, Matt.
Yeah, I think we all kind of knew this. And, you know, the Mariners, I think, are in a situation where he's their guy. They have to commit to him. He's supremely talented. The mechanics have been out of whack. I will say one thing. Pesos is actually pitching much better than Edwin Diaz.
Sure.
He has more strikeouts. His control isn't great neither, but it's much better than Edwin Diaz. The hard hit is like 16%. So that's really good. So for me, it's Diaz. If it's not Diaz and you want to speculate on anybody, it's Pesos.
Former Yankee, James Pesos. And it's interesting, Scott, because on Friday night, in this appearance for Edwin Diaz, didn't walk a batter. I think that was very, very big for the Mariners.
Yeah, it was a big performance for him because, like you guys were talking about with Pesos, before that happened, Servais said, "In my next, if we need another closer next, it's going to be Pesos." And, yeah, to Matt's good point here, you know, you always have to speculate. If Diaz can get the job back again, but then if he's going to have more problems, it's going to be Pesos. I picked up Pesos in two leagues yesterday. One was American League only. One was a 15-teamer because you have to continue to speculate, you know, on these guys. It looks good for an Edwin Diaz owners right now. It never looked good for an Edwin Jackson owner, by the way. I was going to say that name. But, you know, Pesos is a guy I think – you know, if you're speculating on saves, just in case, because you don't know for sure with Diaz, maybe you want to roster him.
Corey, I know you hate getting involved in all these closer situations and making waves with this nonsense.
I wouldn't have picked this adventure.
You would have picked this adventure. Well, you didn't pick this adventure. You had an opportunity. You chose not to.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
But no, what I'll say is about this. This is the Edwin Diaz name. Remember when we were talking last week, Matt? I was like, I would trade for him now.
Yes, you did.
But the value was low, so then maybe you can get on him. Because he wasn't hurt. He wasn't injured. He was performing poorly. It's not like he had like a Betances or somebody like that behind him. It was just regular Joe Schmo type guys. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
So you go and you do that, you know, and he'd get the job back. We knew he would get the job back. Didn't think it happened this quickly. But Edwin Diaz is the man.
I'll tell you what. For all the people that are jumping on James Pasos right now, James Pazzo was pitching the sixth inning of a game they were down 8-1 in yesterday. The sixth inning of a game they were down 8-1 in yesterday.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about that is just, like, if I'm going to speculate, I like to speculate on the skills. And right now this season, his skills have been pretty good.
I can't see anybody else in that bullpen. Yeah. It would be over. And here's the other part about
Nick
it, too.
Vincent.
Do you think Nick Vincent's a closer type?
I don't think he's the closer type. I mean, he's a guy that, I mean, if they had to use him as... We've seen they will, but I mean, I just think
it could become an audition again.
Well, the fact is, I believe, as I said just a moment ago, if they have a safe situation tonight, Edwin Diaz is going to come in the game. However, if he falters, I still believe ultimately Nick Vincent's the guy. Because, and I'll tell you why. They lost the last three games of this White Sox series 2-1, 16-1, and 8-1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Edwin Diaz didn't pitch in any of those games, or the 8th and 9th and the Friday night game. Nick Vincent didn't pitch in a single game where they were losing it. Not a single one. That says something to me.
Well, it also says something to me that Servais was ready to go to him, you know, next if Diaz wasn't the guy.
Well, that's so what I'm,
take
that's
that
what
into account.
That's what I'm saying. Not James Pazos.
Plus, I, you know, what he says, you know, as far as skills, Pesos has been the best guy in the bullpen. So I think you have to take that into account, too. Look at Milwaukee. The best guy in the bullpen was Knebel.
Well, but I mean, it's not like Nick Vincent's been bad. Nick Vincent's got a 2.70 ERA compared to James Pazos' 2.29. It's not that far off.
Just on a random note this weekend in Seattle, Avisail had some night on us.
My guy!
Yeah.
Saturday night.
My guy, too.
Yeah. Avisail Garcia was awesome. He had two homers,
had
two doubles,
homer games,
12 total bases on the night.
Game.
It was an absolutely fantastic weekend. It went over three yesterday. They got pulled. I was like, what are you pulling Avisail Garcia for? That was cool. But the White Sox absolutely dominated Seattle over the weekend. Scott, you were just saying the White Sox very hot right now. Two games under 500. And perhaps we talk about Avisail Garcia. We talk about Jose Abreu and how hot he has been. But maybe the hottest guy in this lineup is your guy, Tim Anderson. Anderson was 3-4 yesterday. The average is up to 264. OBP is still terrible at 288. But he had his fifth home run of the year yesterday.
He has four extra base hits in his last five games. He's having a terrific month of May. He's up to five homers now. You want to see more RBIs, but it's tough in this lineup. He's got 11 RBIs. You want to see more steals. He's only gotten three, but he's really starting to hit. This whole Matt Davidson's starting to hit. You know, he had a terrific weekend. You know, this team. And then you look at Sanchez at second base. You know, this guy's been ripping it up since they put him in the leadoff spot.
He actually batted sixth yesterday, but he's still ripping it up at the moment. He's one for five. Couple of RBIs, four Yomar Sanchez, and he's fighting for his job, right? Like, he needs to keep hitting either Yoan Moncada's in the DL in the minor leagues. Like, he has to keep hitting. Otherwise, he's going to the bench.
He does. And at some point, he's going to stop hitting. So you ride the wave while you can.
Right. In Seattle, your guy Nelson Cruz hit his 11th homer of the year. And the good thing with Nelson Cruz is, even though Seattle is going to a National League park, they're going to play Nelson Cruz 2 out of 3 days in the outfield.
I mean, they really should. I mean, Seattle, everything has gone wrong for them. And we talk about the Mets' injuries. Their whole pitching staff has been depleted.
Legitimately.
I mean, the fans Saturday night really... I think they had enough. I mean, that Giovanni Gallardo outing was horrendous. Just a quick point on Tim Anderson. I tweeted out this morning Trey Turner's stats and Tim Anderson's stats. In the preseason, I was calling Tim Anderson a Trey Turner poor man version of him. So, I mean, look, he's going to steal bases. The speed is real. And, I mean, he's a guy, if he was dropped in your leagues, I would be looking at
him. He was dropped in Greg's league.
Yeah, Tim Anderson was dropped on me, by May.
By Greg.
Not upset about it.
Foolish.
No, it wasn't foolish. Derek Holland, your guy just keeps on rolling, Scott.
Yeah, I was not my guy, but, you know, like I was actually saying, I'm waiting for him to blow up. But this guy is not allowed more than three runs in a start this year. It's actually confounding. I feel like two runs, he's going to give up 13 runs in his next two starts. It's just like, he's really pitching over his head.
No, he definitely is pitching over his head. But that start against the Yankees, I forget how many runs he let up.
Seven.
Yeah, he did. But the thing is with Holland, it's going well. You've been right. And, like, for the matchups, if you're playing him in certain instances, yes. But I just don't see this ending well. Kind of like a Wade Miley type to me.
Yeah, he had a good matchup yesterday. He was a great daily play. He was a good streamer yesterday. And if you're going to be any kind of quality pitcher, you got to take advantage of those type of matchups.
Dan Vogelbach is back with the Mariners. Is this someone that we should know about, Matt?
If he gets the playing time, I mean, the guy can hit. So
Valencia's going to the DL.
Yeah, Valencia's going to the DL. So, I mean, he should get the playing time this time. I thought maybe it was last month or a few weeks back that he was coming up and they were going to play him, but that really never happened. And he does have a following. There are people who are big Dan Vogelbach supporters.
Yeah, I like Dan Vogelbach also. I thought that he would come up and play every day and mash. We didn't see it the first time. Maybe we'll see this time.
He sounds like a 70s easy listening singer more than he does a first baseman.
That's a good
idea. Yeah.
8-track by Dan Vogelbach.
That's actually funny.
You got what I need.
No, that's Teddy Pendergrass.
Teddy P.
Yeah, Teddy P.
Teddy P was the man.
Wade Miley yesterday.
He was.
No, moving right on.
He must know.
who you just mentioned, seven innings of six hit ball, three runs, none of them were earned, only struck out three. And it's funny because the guy he was facing yesterday, Marco Estrada, 7 2/3, five hits, one run. When are we just going to be like, you know what, it's 12 strikeouts. When are we just going to be like, all right, Marco Estrada, we bow down.
Estrada bathwater. I am a true believer now. You know, the strikeout rate improved last year to just under 9, like 8.5 or so. This season, he's taken it to a next level. And if you got him in drafts, you got him at a nice price, and this is how you win leagues.
This was pivotal because two of his last three starts coming in were not good. He allowed five runs in each of them, and this was the most ever in Blue Jays franchise history, the most ever strikeouts by a Blue Jays pitcher at Baltimore. And, you know, this guy's got maybe the best changeup in the American League right now. And in his last three quality starts, he's got 12 Ks, 8 Ks, 7 Ks.
There you go. Showing people out with a changeup. When we return, we took more baseball. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're choosing our own adventure here on a Monday. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way next. We got a whole lot of baseball.
Yeah.
Coming your way over
what's
the next
up? What's
hour.
Up, man?
Is this Scotty doesn't know?
Yes.
Oh, look at it. There you go, Scotty. Go for it. Hey.
Scotty doesn't know.
That's the
don't
King
tell
Scott
Scotty.
Angle.
Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know that he looks like an idiot.
Hey, I'm not that's the one playing one. Spike ball.
Oh. Right. That's why I'm in shape.
Oh. I'm in much better shape than you. You're saying I'm not in shape. I dance.
Scott
when
dance?
Do you yeah. dance?
What?
When?
On the show.
If I'm not going out, I'm doing it around the house. I do a lot of walking. You're trying to make like I'm out of shape.
Probably
here.
Do the same amount of walking though, because he got to walk to the east side every day.
I know your rich ass be walking back and forth to the bank, you know, all the time.
To the bank,
yeah, to the bank, make
I'm
deposits all
work.
The time, you know.
Well, you gotta think he's taking those gold bars out of the closet.
Right, they're heavy. They're heavy to carry. Heavy
that's
to carry.
True.
Yeah.
Then why do you have a bird chest?
You're getting personal now, Scott. Yeah, what the hell are you doing?
No,
you
I'm not seeing it.
Take it to the next level.
Yeah, Scott, why are you taking? Why are you making? You said Greg got a chest like Jeff the skeleton.
Corey, the first I told you helping him out. Like, why are you doing that? And you're like, wait a minute, you're just not correct.
Jeff's
there's all kind of dudes with suits coming into Rock and Rollies today. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, he started it. I had to finish.
I hope there's gonna be no sanctions or nothing coming down. It's very important. Important people just stepped into Rock and Rollies.
Those
now.
Are my agents.
Oh, okay, that's who it is. All right. Well,
I pay them to be here. Hey,
what we got next?
We have a lot of baseball coming your way, but Corey, you were talking during the break about choosing your next adventure, and you were telling me that you have changed your opinion.
Yeah, I changed my opinion. I was watching some press conferences this weekend from like the OTAs and stuff like that, and they was talking with Tyrod Taylor. Hey, I'm back. I'm with Shady. I'm rolling with Shady again. I don't like paying the price tag that he's going for right now, so I would like to get him a little bit later on. But the way Tyrod Taylor, they're keeping a lot of the pieces from the running game are going to remain the same, right? A lot of the same thing. And then they plan on using the running back out the backfield a lot more this year also as far as catching passes. So LeSean McCoy, he's going to be coming in. He's still. I'm not as down on him as I was this time last week. Listening to Tyrod Taylor speak at the OTAs, LeSean McCoy is going to be a big part of that offense once again.
I'm not down on Shady, but I do think the home runs will. The home runs, the touchdowns will. My question
Shady
is: just
work
to
on
you,
his pitch selection.
Who would you take out of these? Rank these three: Melvin Gordon, Devonta Freeman, Shady.
Melvin Gordon, Devonta Freeman, Shady.
I would have it in that order. I totally agree with you, and I also have it in that order, Scott.
I would go Melvin Gordon, Devonta Freeman, Shady.
Yes, so that's unanimous.
Yeah. We're all in the same there.
A lot of people have Shady like four. Most of the people.
You know, it's interesting because I just feel like with Shady McCoy, to me it almost has a little bit of that Marshawn Lynch effect where it's just like one of these years he's going to just turn and the ankle is going to
turn
out.
For the bet. But then maybe he'll retire and take a year off and come back and everybody will assume he's the number one running back again.
Scott, why I think you're bitter about the Marshawn to Oakland
not,
thing. No, I really do. I think you're bitter.
I am not at all. Don't accuse me of not being ejected.
I think you're in your feelings. How did I get it wrong?
I love Marshawn Lynch.
I don't get it wrong. I win championships.
We're not talking about this. You get it wrong. Okay, you got a losing record against me. All right, but the point is that it has nothing to do with my analysis. I love Marshawn Lynch. He brought the Seahawks to Super Bowl. He's a great Seahawk, but the guy was breaking down in his last year. Okay, he's taken a year off, and everybody is saying that all of a sudden this guy's going to be a top running back again. They're not looking at
playing
the facts.
Playing behind Oakland's offensive line, knocking off touchdowns. He'll score 10, 12 touchdowns if he stays healthy.
The guy was breaking down the year in 2014.
He rejuvenated himself. I'm in on Marshawn Lynch.
He's taking
Lynch.
A year
I'm
off.
I'm not saying I'm taking him in the first damn round,
everybody
Scott.
Everybody was down on him in 2014. All of a sudden he takes a year off, we're up on him? Doesn't make sense.
Don't start no foolishness with me, Scott.
I'll finish foolishness.
You're in the fight in the break.
More Roto Experts in the morning coming your way. It's Matty Modica's birthday. We'll be back right after this.
Hey.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void came fire, smoke, Roto.
Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning.
We are back for hour number two here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the King, Scott Angle, Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, the Birthday Boy, CTM Baseball's Matty Modica. I am Greg Sussman. What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing? Still good? Still good?
Still good. Yeah. Having fun. Good I first
got some,
hour.
I had some fruit snacks in my belly. I'm hungry. I could have went there. You know what I'm saying?
No, but you couldn't.
I respect what maturity. We're trying to do here. Yes, maturity. All of a sudden, yes.
That's new.
I appreciate that.
You know what? I went out and got. I got some fruit snacks. Whatever. I had my water over there. The temperature's starting to come down.
Those are Mott's fruit snacks.
Mott's fruit snacks.
That's not even like the real fruit snack. It's like the apple juice fruit snacks.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Exactly. It is. This is good stuff right here. So. I told you, I was. We talked about the LeSean McCoy thing in the last break, and then Scott got all upset about Marshawn Lynch, and I was saying how I think Scott's a little jealous that he's in Oakland now.
And I think you're wrong because you know it has nothing to do with who he plays for.
All right,
if he still played for the Seahawks, if he came back after a year off and played for the Seahawks, I would say the same thing.
I got it, Scotty. We've talked that these two players have been compared for the last 2 months. Who would you rather have, Eddie Lacy in Seattle or Marshawn Lynch in Oakland?
I really don't like either one of them. I feel like Lacy's going to get hurt, and Procise is going to carry a lot, and maybe Rawls is going to come back. To me, it's almost a wash. I don't like either one of these guys, but I think Lynch might score two more touchdowns, so I'll say Lynch.
I'll take Eddie Lacy based on price. Where are you going to get him as opposed to...
If you put price... See, you put it as straight
I know.
Either or.
I know.
You're
absolutely
going to get Lacy later, so I like that.
Scott, I agree.
I do think, honestly, that, you know, I worry about both of them. Lacy, I think, might have a better chance to have a rebound season because the Seahawks focus more on the run than
and
the Packers did.
And their offensive line is terrible?
That never mattered for Lynch, though. Here's something.
Well, Eddie Lacy, much better.
Eddie Lacy's not Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch is a Hall of Famer. Eddie Lacy's a bum.
Hold on here. Now, two things. I'm talking about style here. I'm not comparing the two runners.
I hope not.
Okay? The way the Seattle offensive line is and why Lynch was so good is you have to anticipate an opening. And Eddie Lacy's able to be an anticipatory back. That said, they've also shored up the line a little bit, but... Look, I'm not big on either one of these guys, but if you talk about for value,
sure.
I'd rather have Lacy. But if they're both there and I got to pick one, I'll say Lynch.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad you got that right.
No, you had it wrong from the beginning.
I don't never
Isaiah
have it wrong.
Isaiah Crowell.
Oh, I love Isaiah Crowell. I'm Isaiah Crowell. Scott? Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah. Crowell. Who's playing quarterback? Hugh Jackson?
Huh?
What about you, Scott? Where are you on that? Isaiah Crowell or Marshawn Lynch? Corey just said Crowell.
I'm going to say Lynch. He scores two more touchdowns.
The breakout season for Isaiah Crowell is coming. A breakout season is coming.
Maybe
from
2018,
Crowell.
Yeah.
I'll take Marshawn Lynch. I'm not doing this whole Crowell thing.
I don't believe in
that
Crowell if you want.
I won't.
I won't be the one with the big check, and I'm going to be like Isaiah Crowell.
I want to Crowell, man. He's going to say.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Sky chooses adventure next.
Muscle Maker Grill was made for football season. Muscle Maker Grill supplies you will play.
Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
I don't even know what song this is.
Nope. Rock Me Amadeus.
Yeah, Rock Me Amadeus.
Oh, I remember this.
Rock
yeah.
Me Amadeus.
It reminds me of the SNL sketch about space pants with okay. Peter Dinklage. I feel like nobody. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the producers knowing y'all are talking
I'll have
about
to, I'll have to watch this.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
Back here at the World Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey, you chose your own adventure with a little LeSean McCoy talk. So that means the King is up next.
Oh, you get a chance. You what get a chance have? To pick, Scott. Pick
All right.
your own adventure.
Scotty, the King, Angle. Would you like to talk about next? Madams, now a member of the Atlanta Braves. Would you like to talk about... Madams.
Madams. I like the way you said that.
Madams.
Hungry.
Madams.
Would you like to talk about Dallas Keuchel, the pinched nerve in his neck? Would you like to talk about the Chiz?
Oh.
Or, latest edition, the Shark?
The Shark's mine, so don't go.
Let's talk about Madams.
We'll talk about Madams. Madams. All right. Right. Madams it is.
Let me look him up.
Matt Adams. That's very funny. Matt Adams, of course, the former four-time prospect or highly regarded prospect with the Cardinals. I remember a couple of years ago, I picked him pretty early. Like, I wanted him. I thought he had a nice ability to hit home runs, a lot of power. And the problem was he'd get very hot, like power hitters do, and then he would ultimately get extremely, extremely cold. And he would never rebound. He struck out way too much. And then over the last, he wound up losing his job. And then over the last couple of years, he just lost a ton of weight. Like, he doesn't even look like the same guy. He fell out of favor in St. Louis. And with Matt Carpenter playing first base every day, and Matt Adams not really capable of playing the outfield with regularity, there was no spot for Adams. With Freddie Freeman now out with his broken wrist, and he's supposed to be out for 8 to 10 weeks, and who knows what the power will be when he ultimately does return, Atlanta needed a first baseman. And of course, they had Ryan Howard, and they released him. You heard a lot about Jace Peterson, and they wound up making a move. And this signals, you know, the Braves actually trying to win some games here. They're trying to stay competitive. And they went out, and they acquired Matt Adams for a prospect. So, Scotty, this is your adventure, so I turn to you. Matt Adams, I truly believe, is going to get an opportunity, a real opportunity in Atlanta to play close to every day. If Matt Adams is available, 12-team league, 15-team league, is he someone that they're picking up?
I think people have already picked him up. Like in Tout Wars last night, he went for $177. Okay. In GST, he went for well over $100. So I think people are doing it. If they're at the corner infield spot, and there is still some power potential there. The Braves show they want to win games, not maybe because they want to play for a playoff spot, but it's the first.
They got a new stadium.
Exactly. They had the first year of a new stadium. They want to have an entertaining product out there. They want to have a competitive product out there because they do have maybe the richest farm system in all of the majors, but having a bunch of minor leaguers are not going to sell anything. And they didn't have anybody in the system in the minor leagues that could come up and immediately fill the spot. So first, before this happened, they signed James Loney. But, you know, they're not going to go with Loney unless, you know, Adams just like is a total bust here. You know, they'll have him for some veteran depth in case, you know, Adams doesn't work out. But this is a guy, I think, the rest of the way that I can hit about 265, 270 with about a dozen to 14 homers here if he's playing every day.
With his debut for the Braves, first game as a starting first baseman, Matt, who's 0-4, 3 strikeouts.
Yeah, I'll look past that. I think with the new park that he's playing in, if you hit the ball to right center or right field, it looks like that's a very good thing. So, I mean, in a 15-team league, he's somebody that I would want on my team right now. I'm going to take that gamble, especially with all the injuries. I mean, this is the year of Justin Smoke, of Yonder Alonso.
Justin Bohr.
And even as Scott and Tony were talking, as Scott and Tony were talking earlier this morning, even in like 300 and something plate appearances, he's been able to hit like 15 home runs. So I mean, in today's game, in the state of how everything is, yeah, he's a guy.
He's a reclamation project. You know, people thought he was a 30-35 homer guy. He's not that, but serviceable at corner infield, he can be.
I got him for $44 in one league. I was kind of
but let me ask you fellas about this, though. This dude stinks.
He's a guy, well, look, he's going to get an opportunity now in a place where he can succeed, a better park for him as well. I'm not saying he's going to be the next guy to, like, you know, turn everything around, but in deeper leagues, you got to take that chance.
That's 35% K rate. That's like the Buxton kid.
Well, I mean, look. As we're stating, Justin Smoke was notorious. You know, he's improved that this season. Let's see. Matt Adams lost the weight. Let's see if he makes the adjustments. He could be a total bust.
And then his BABIP is .419. So it's like, this guy stinks.
Well, he has. You know, that's why he lost the job in St. Louis and he got traded. Yeah. But he has lost the weight.
The scenery?
He is changing scenery. He's got the opportunity to play every day, and there's natural power there.
Yeah, the power.
I had to change the scenery last year.
They called him on Big
Worked
country,
out really
big
well.
I did. Yeah. Now I need to lose weight.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but you don't need to be in shape to do what you got to do.
I still be knocking
him
down, Scotty.
How will this Freddie Freeman injury, how will this affect Matt Kemp? Because he was in front of Matt Kemp, and, you know, These two in the middle of the lineup was really working. Now Kevin's Nick Markakis in front of him, and Matt Adams behind him.
Yeah, that's a very good point you make there. It's going to be curious to see. I mean, the Matt Kemp effect last season, what he did for Will Myers, and then when he came to Atlanta, and I mean, Freddie Freeman was having a very good season last year, and then he just went beast mode style down the stretch. So that is something to look at. I mean, Matt Kemp is a guy that has been underrated the last few years in fantasy, even this season especially. He puts up numbers. I know he's a terrible defensive player, and people look at his war, and they're like, oh, my God, he's terrible. But for fantasy purposes, we really don't care about that.
Scott, so if you're Matt Kemp owner, would you try to trade him because of this Freddie Freeman trade?
I don't know. With that home park and the kind of numbers he's been putting up, I still think even if there's a minimal decline, it's going to be minimal. I just think there's too much talent.
Okay.
I think he's
talent
right.
Wins out.
And the night they opened SunTrust Park when he was on MLB, when he was hurt, he was saying how excited he was to play to hit in this park, and that he hits the ball to right center
to
a lot.
Home.
It was
going
to be a very favorable thing for him.
There you go. One other reason to pick up Matt Adams, of course, SunTrust Park, the ball flying out of that stadium. Matty Modica!
We know where we're going.
We know where which adventure you're choosing. And that, of course, is with the Shark, Jeff Samardzija. Now, Jeff Samardzija, I had talked about for weeks on end. I wanted no part of this guy. I didn't believe in this guy. I hated this guy. There's nothing that would turn me around. And you gave your best shot here. You explained tweet after tweet. You came on the radio. You defended this guy. And you're like, I understand why you're pissed off, but I'm telling you, it's going to turn around. And so last week, I listened to you. I went out and I desperately tried to trade for him before each of his starts here last week. Now, the best one, of course, was over the weekend on Saturday. He pitched 8 shutout innings. Him and Carlos Martinez had a duel, man. 8 shutout innings. He struck out 8. He barely allowed anybody on, like 2 hits or something like that. He's got back-to-back quality starts. 4 out of his last 5 starts have been quality. Now, that's not a stat you love. But 4 to 5 quality starts here. Next one is in Chicago with the Cubs. I believe that is on Wednesday or Thursday. Jeff Samardzija returns to Chicago later this week, but you obviously knew something about this guy.
Well, I'm a little nervous about Thursday's start. I mean, I know he's going back home, so maybe it's a revenge game, but if the wind's blowing out in Wrigley, that could be really bad for him. But just to put things in perspective, he's 3rd in FIP tied with Clayton Kershaw. He's 4th in XFIP. He's 8th in strikeout percentage. He is 3rd best in walk percentage. These are some pretty damn good numbers. And look, is he going to be a maddening pitcher the rest of the season? It's Jeff Samardzija. That could be the case. My whole point has been is he has a purpose on a fantasy rotation or staff. See, I got both of them in there for you, Scotty. So
only when it applies.
Okay, I'm losing. So this is the thing. My whole point was also he has a purpose. And you got to look at guys that are depressed, that people don't want, that are maybe struggling on the surface, but beneath the surface are exhibiting extreme skills. So, I mean, this is how you make trades. You can't always be looking to buy the guy that's, you know, killing it for a month. Like Brett Gardner right now, maybe people are selling high because his month of May is just tremendous. But, you know, you have to play it right, in my opinion.
Real quick, Corey. Mike Florio lying. True or false? The last time Jeff Samardzija walked a batter was April 28th.
False. He doesn't say true or false.
No, true. That's false.
False. Corey goes against the grain, and it doesn't work.
True. He has not walked a batter since April 28th. So, in fact, it did work then, because he said true.
No, he said false.
I said false, Greg.
I was trying to defend.
Oh, no, it's all
he said
good.
False.
No, look, it's been amazing.
He doesn't need you to do it. He's an adult.
Oh, he's my friend now.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, guess what, Corey? You're up next.
I'm up next?
You're up next.
Cool.
You get to choose your adventure, and hopefully it's away from that guy. Stick around for Roto Experts in the morning. Coming your way right after this. Crazy. I feel like they come out with a Return of the Mac version like every couple years.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got your mic on now.
This is ridiculous.
Sorry.
My fault.
Yeah, I know. We're back here, hanging out. I thought so. Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah, let's go. I got my son Jeff with me.
Oh, Jeff.
Jeff's right over here.
You should probably choose this one then. All right, are you ready, sir?
I see the resemblance.
Here we go. Would you like
to
choose?
Somebody was messing with Jeff over the weekend.
Would you like to choose Corey Parson, Dallas Keuchel and his pinched nerve in his neck? Would you like to choose the Chiz or the latest edition, the latest adventure, Eric Thames and his leg cramping?
I think you owe us Eric Thames.
What's up?
I think you owe us Eric Thames.
You want to talk about
Eric
Thames?
Yeah, but if he talks about Dallas Keuchel, he can use a skeleton.
Yeah, I'm going to talk.
Okay.
But he's also used about leg cramping. He probably could use Jeff as well.
True.
Where are you going, Corey?
I'm going to talk about Dallas Keuchel because I like Dallas Keuchel. But before we get into Dallas Keuchel, today is a holiday in Canada.
It's Victoria Day.
What do they celebrate on Victoria Day?
So I believe on Victoria Day, it's kind of like their Memorial Day.
Is there
like kick off the summer? But basically, it is in honor of Queen Victoria's birthday because they still believe in the Queen. So it's last Monday before May 25th, which was her birthday.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So shout out to everybody in Canada celebrating.
You know how like next Monday is like our unofficial start to summer.
Yeah,
today is their unofficial start to summer.
Oh, it's summertime in Canada already.
Yes, it is.
Somebody broke Jeff Joe over the weekend.
Okay. All right, here we go. Anyway, Dallas Keuchel has been arguably the best pitcher in baseball for most of this year. Mm-hmm. And he has been so much better than I anticipated he would be than so many others as well. I know people were on him. I was not. The numbers for Keuchel, 7-0. I'm sorry. This is 7-0, right?
Yeah, he's tied with Fulmer, I think, for the lead.
54 strikeouts, a 1.84 ERA, a 0.86 whip. He has been absolutely fantastic throughout this season. Now, he got scratched immediately following getting through five innings against Miami. He goes on the DL with a pinched nerve in his neck. Now, he believes it's minor. Given where Houston is in the standings, given how well he is pitching, he did not want to push it. So he goes on the DL with a pinched nerve in his neck. Corey, how will this pinched neck affect how good he has been all year? How quickly can he come back? What are you seeing, reading, and hearing in regards to Dallas Keuchel?
All right, Keuchel? So this pinched nerve, because Keuchel's balling, you know what I'm saying? So that Dallas Keuchel, he's up there, he's doing good. So he got this pinched nerve in his neck. So basically, what's happening to him, excuse me, it's like a little pressure, you know what I'm saying, on his neck, whatever. Nothing to really worry about here. The best course of action is to get, this is the neck.
That's the neck, yes. Back of the, you're looking at the back of the neck here.
Yeah. And he's throwing the baseball.
Right.
So you can have that. And then you see what happens is he could have got a crick in his neck from sleeping funny, too. So that's when you're on the airplane, you use them little pillows they put around your neck. He should have had a pillow around his neck.
Yeah, should it be a heated pillow?
Well, it don't have to be heated. Because I don't know if this happened on in the baseball field or if it happened while he was traveling to the next city and he might have fell asleep and pinched a nerve in his neck a little bit.
Is this something you can come back from quickly, Corey?
It's something you can get back from this quickly. You need rest and rehab.
So you say like, the Astros are the right thing. Just give him a week off.
Give him a time off. Give him a week off. Let him miss a start or whatever the case may be. And then get him right back out there. And he should go right back to Cy Young. Right?
Cy Young
status. Because he's balling right now. He's going to start in the All-Star game, Scott. So
go.
He's going to be the starting pitcher for
Chris
the American
Sale, something to say about
I think
that.
Chris
oh, yeah,
Sale
Chris
might,
Sale
yeah.
is a baller, too. Yeah. I forgot about Chris
Sale.
But
really
what's
well.
Interesting about the injury is that, you know, Brad Peacock went in very hot in waivers this week.
And, I got Jeff. Jeff is falling over here. So
yeah,
I got
Brad Peacock became a very hot pickup. He's going to make the next start in Keuchel's place. Out of the bullpen, he's been getting a lot of strikeouts. And you know, but he's also had a lot of walks. Not too impressive last time he got to start in 2014, but he's worth the flyer because of the strikeout ability, especially in the 15-team league.
Yesterday for Houston, they actually fell to Cleveland by the score of 8-6, and it was my man Joe Musgrove getting bombed here. Musgrove lasted three innings, seven runs, eight hits, three walks, four strikeouts. I still get upset when Joe Musgrove lets up runs.
Oh, before we get into the Astros rotation, the thing with Keuchel, if it's just a pinched nerve, and
it's good,
you know,
to go.
I'm fine with that. The one thing, maybe I'm going to be a little, you know, conspiracy theory here is, I just hope there's nothing wrong with the shoulder. Because after the last season, that was the issue. So I just want to make sure there's nothing with that. If it's just a pinched nerve and they're being honest, I mean, teams have lied before, then it's all good. But just something to the back of your head, maybe keep in mind.
Okay.
But as far as, say, Mike Fears or Joe Musgrove, the Astros really need to do better here.
They got to trade for a pitcher.
They do.
They got to desperately have to trade for a pitcher.
Musgrove is pitching that badly on the best team in baseball. It says a lot about it. The kid's like another year away.
Mike Fiers too. I don't think he's a year away.
I'm not talking about Fiers. I'm talking about Musgrove.
No, I understand.
I was never a Mike Fiers fan. I'm with you.
I understand. I am a Joe Musgrove guy, but you're saying he's a year away. Dude's 24. Like, he's not young anymore.
Yeah, but still, you know, it's his real first crack at full time in the majors. The talent is there. It's just like he could be a year away. Like 25 is still young. But with Fiers, though, always struck me as a journeyman type.
I mean, the guy's got 17 home runs in 42 innings. 34%. That's insane.
Yeah.
Somebody moves some fooling with
that,
Jeff.
That makes Phil Hughes look like he keeps in the ball in the park.
Like I said, the Astros need to go trade for a starting pitcher. I don't know who that is yet, but they got to be somebody.
They have so Garrett much Cole. Minor league.
That would make sense. That's a good call.
I mean,
by
Cole,
you.
Quintana. I mean, sure. One of these guys is just. And I would start the talks earlier.
I would like to see Quintana in Houston.
See who gets in. If somebody hesitates and wants to wait to see, like the Yankees. Say the Yankees say, you know what, I want to wait another month to see if we're really in it. And you can maybe get him now. That's something I would be doing.
You listen to On Demand, my Roto Experts at the Park, and John Shea, the beat reporter for the Giants, Johnny Cueto, is a possibility, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I would love to see Johnny Cueto on the Dodgers.
For Cleveland yesterday, Danny Salazar, 5 2/3, 4 hits, 3 runs. He walked 3, 7 strikeouts. And it's interesting. Like to me, I look at Danny Salazar's like 2 lines for the week. Danny Salazar. I mean, this is Danny Salazar. It's not going to change.
But the one thing is, though, when he goes into Houston and posts a line like that against what may be the best team in baseball, I think that's got to be encouraging.
What is encouraging about this? 5 2/3, three runs, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts. What's encouraging about
that?
It
wasn't a bad performance. He struck out 7 and 5 2/3.
He strikes out 10 guys every game. Who cares?
He only allowed 3 runs, and this is against the Astros.
This is not encouraging. This is Danny Salazar. This is exactly what I expect from him every game.
This was not a bad performance.
I didn't say it was bad, but I'm not saying it was encouraging. It's whatever. This is not anything.
Well, let's look at context here. I expected him to get blown up yesterday, and it didn't happen. He pitched better than I expected.
You know, when you say that, it reminds me of Matt Harvey, right? When Matt Harvey pitched 5 1/3, 3 runs, everyone was like, oh, great, Matt Harvey. You're doing that for Danny Salazar now.
No, because Matt Harvey wouldn't strike out 7 guys.
How many did he strike out last week when he did that?
I don't remember how much, but Harvey hasn't been getting strikeouts this year.
Danny Salazar strikes out legitimately 10 guys a game.
He does. Harvey doesn't.
Right. So, like, what? Why is this not impressive to me?
I'm still going to buy low on Danny Salazar right now. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, the whip has been a woeful the past couple of seasons. He's always going to be at least a 130-ish whip guy. But, I mean, we've seen in 2014, 2015, he can get the walks under control. It's been an issue last season and into this season. You know, you can't have walks per 9 over 4. You just can't do that.
Correct.
Maybe you can't say it's an encouraging start, but it certainly was not a disaster.
No, absolutely not.
You know what? Maybe I won't say encouraging. Maybe I'll say I was satisfied with the start. But
fine with that.
If you want to look for something to try and grab some hope, he's got like a 362 BABIP. His career is like 300. If this starts to normalize a little, he is trying to work on other pitches, trying to work on, the changeup versus left-handers. So he's trying to make a correction here, make a change, better himself against opposing hitters. So it's just somebody that I'm going to say is, if somebody cuts him, let's say a 12-team league, I would pick him up. I mean, maybe stream him, put him on your bench, or if you can get him for dirt cheap. There is talent.
I was trying to
strike out the guy, strike him out, or give up a home run.
I was trying to move him in the AL-only league this week for Edwin Encarnacion. I felt it was a fair deal, and it wasn't accepted. And then I look at yesterday, and I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't be so hot to, you know, sell
him. I'm an ex-FIP guy. I mean, I kind of like to look to
him. Yeah, me too.
And if you look at his...
Right.
I got to say, Corey,
like you're a Warriors fan, right?
You've been putting a little... my eyes have been getting watery lately. I've been seeing you going on there. You're
taking out
the Fangraphs stuff. You're doing a hell of a job. I like the ex-FIP. To me, it's a little more of an indicator. And if his ex-FIP is 3.33. So if he can get to that level... I mean, 13... 0.2 Ks per nine cannot be overlooked.
You, no, you just, it's not.
You can't. Yeah. You cannot discard that.
My issue with Danny Salazar is this issue I've always had with Danny Salazar. He's just not somebody that, you know, you look about Jacob DeGrom a couple moments ago, right? And Steven Strasburg a couple moments ago. And even Carlos Carrasco last week. And it's like, you put these guys in your lineups and you know you're going to get seven innings. You got a couple of runs, a crap load of strikeouts. With Danny Salazar, you were almost crossing your fingers every time out. He's not going to get blown up. Scotty, you just mentioned like you were satisfied with this outing. And that's totally fair, right? Like 5 1/3, 3 runs, yeah. 7 strikeouts. Like, you have every right to be satisfied because going into that outing yesterday, you're crossing your fingers and then he doesn't get blown up. And I feel like we're always doing that with Danny Salazar.
Yes. You know, like he says, the whip is always going to be what it is.
You mentioned Edwin Encarnacion, 207 on the year for EE, Corey. He's got a 341 OBP, which is good, but 207 for Edwin Encarnacion, I mean, that's like really bad.
Yeah, but Eddie's going to get it going. I'm not worried about Edwin Encarnacion.
You're not worried.
But he has got it going recently. In terms of swatting homers, and the average still isn't there.
But he's striking out too much this year, too, so far in the season. He is striking out too much, but his BABIP is 264, so just be patient with Edwin Encarnacion. He's, like, from the Caribbean, so it's like he needs the warmer weather.
Carlos Santana also really struggling for Cleveland. I know he's at the 330 OBP, but he's striking out a little bit too much. I expect more power out of Carlos Santana. We'll take a break. Scott Angle's up next, choosing his own adventure here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Monday, hanging out.
Scott jamming.
Scott is jamming.
You're
out.
Unbelievable.
20 minutes
just,
away.
Do you like this jam, Sussman?
No. 20 minutes away from old school fantasy.
Yeah, old school fantasy.
We'll find out what's coming up on that in just a little bit.
Whose turn is it?
For the final time this morning, Scott Angle. It's time to choose your own adventure. We'll do more of this tomorrow. I saw the guys during the break. We'll do it. We'll have a little bit of creative
stuff,
version. Thank you, man. Yeah. A little creative version of it tomorrow. But it's time to choose your own adventure. Scotty, are you ready?
What you got?
Are we going to talk about the cheese? Or are we going to talk about Eric Thames and his leg cramping? Or the newest edition? Or are we going to talk about Odubel?
Your guy.
My guy.
Let's go with Eric Thames.
Eric Thames it is. The Milwaukee
first... You need
first,
me to get Jeff?
The Milwaukee first baseman, Eric Thames' leg was cramping up. And it's interesting, because last week he battled strep throat, and he missed quite a bit of the week. Comes back over the weekend, now his leg is cramping. My first question for you, Scott Angle, in regards to Eric Thames, is, do you believe all of that?
Do I believe all of that? Yeah, it sounds viable to me, but didn't he have another injury before that? Didn't his hamstring tighten up on him a
Correct.
Few weeks ago?
Correct.
I did that to him.
Yeah.
His hamstrings tightening,
yeah.
Strep throat, his leg cramps.
He was asking for it.
I don't believe it. That's why I put up the point with Dallas Keuchel that, you know, it's probably just a pinched nerve.
But maybe it's
maybe
not.
It's something a little more.
I agree. I think something's going on with Eric Thames. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's more hamstring tightness. Maybe it's a little bit severe. Something's going on
But
here.
When you say leg cramps, that could lead to something else. I'm not saying I don't believe what
right.
the Brewers are putting out there.
It's nice of you.
Necessarily. What I'm saying is that this could lead to something more when he if not, and when he undergoes further
you
testing.
You can't believe everything the liberal media tells you.
I just said that this could lead to something more. This is the type of thing where it starts with leg cramps mm-hmm. and then reports come out that it might be something else. So I am concerned.
Yeah, no,
I am concerned. This guy hasn't played in the U.S. in a few years. I'm wondering if that like it has something to do
air?
With the conditioning. No, it's like
oh.
is the conditioning different for a baseball season over here? What's the length of the KBO season? I'd like to know.
You can look it up. It's
how many games they play in the KBO, Madiga? Nobody knows.
Ask Alexa. Yeah. I'm sure she'll tell you.
I'd say one thing though.
The Amazon Alexa was a joke.
I would. Bro, I would try and buy low on themes here.
I like it. I like that idea, Matt.
Why not?
I mean, if you really liked him in April, I don't see why you don't like him now.
He's going to heat up again because he's balling. He's going to turn it on.
unless you're going to believe that he could only hit against the Reds pitching.
144 like games per year at the KBO.
Oh, yeah, they play a lot of baseball.
144 games, yeah.
Well, everybody got that at the same time. Yeah. Google real quick.
On the other side.
That speculation is unfounded.
On the other side of Eric Thames leaving these games constantly, sitting out, is Ryan Braun. Ryan Braun came back for the Brewers here yesterday, went 0-for-5, did have an RBI. Braun returns in his 3 spot in left field, so it's good to see Braun back. Another interesting note, Travis Shaw has a nice little hitting streak going. He has 9 home runs over the year. Travis Shaw up to 290 now with the 327.
Yeah, because he was very, very hot at the beginning of the year, and this hot streak has lasted, this latest one, for a while. You know, he had a little bit of an injury here. With Braun, it's like, I think we know what he is now. It's like when he is in the lineup, he'll hit, but he's always, always getting beat up. It's like I can't tell you how many times Jeff has said to Corey, "Are we doing Ryan Braun again?"
Yeah. Jeff was up like, "I can't." Yeah. He said, "Jeff was like, what's wrong with the guy, Ryan Braun? We keep talking about him." Jeff also wants y'all to know that that the commercial, that you hear with Jeff, he wants everybody to know that that's me and that's not really him.
Really?
Because he don't have a voice box.
Jonathan VR stole his 9th base of the season yesterday. VR back in the leadoff spot after being sent to the 5 or 6 hole either. Over the week. 3-for-4 was VR. 220 average with a 286 OBP. For Chicago, they're still hitting Ben Zobrist and Kyle Schwarber in the top of the lineup. It was Zobrist leading off yesterday. Schwarber batting 2. Zobrist led off the game with his 4th homer of the year. Chris Bryant wound up with 2 homers. Anthony Rizzo hit his 8th. Schwarber went 1-for-3 batting 185.
Yeah, with
stinks.
You know, Schwarber is just like the hitting mechanics have been off. You know, you see him do one thing in batting practice and then you see him do another in the game. Zobrist, the counting numbers really haven't been there. You know, Bryant got off to that slow start. It seems like nobody remembers it now.
It's completely true, because when you look at Chris Bryant and you see the average up to over 300,
he's like the quietest 300 player in the league.
Correct. He's got double-digit home runs. Chris Bryant just mowing.
Again, because it's like what we talked about with Trout and Strasburg. Yep. These are not storylines, because these guys are doing what we expect them to do.
I agree.
And, you know, we're always bringing up the storylines of overachieving, underachieving.
Sure.
Buy low, sell
when
high.
You're just doing your job. It's not exciting.
You're just doing it's safe, but
at what point does Kyle Schwarber get?
He's hurt.
You have to move him somewhere.
What's wrong with him?
He's hurting.
Where?
I don't know where. He's masking an injury right now.
Okay, we'll have to follow up with that.
Telling you, all right. Telling you, he's masking an injury right now.
They got half.
Jake Arrieta, I know you guys, Matt, you were not exactly loving Jake Arrieta. Mm-hmm. You were saying, listen, I don't want to buy this. The guys on Target were the other way. Like, the guys on Target were all about...
They're not as smart as us.
We're all about buying Jake Arrieta right now. And yesterday, he pitched really well. 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, only walked 1. The run was not earned. He struck out 6, 111 pitches over his 6 innings. Have you changed your mind, Matt, on Arrieta?
I would buy him for the right price. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to pay full price for him right now. I just, the main thing I've had coming into the season and now has been, you know, he's not throwing his best pitch as much as he did when he was dominant.
I wonder why.
And in a contract season for him, this is his chance. His one chance to really break the bank. That said, the strikeouts have been there. The walk rate has greatly improved from last season. So I mean, there are things to like. I'm just not that confident on Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, there was a report out of Chicago last week. You know, they examined it. They did a breakdown and said hitters are not swinging at his cutters just as much anymore. And, you know, that's allowing them to sit on the fastball. But Arrieta, to his credit, you know, like he was just a journeyman type till he came over to Chicago and developed a new pitch. So yesterday's start, you know, shows maybe he's adjusting back. You know, he's not a number one fantasy starter anymore. He's probably more of a number 3.
The next adventure, sir, is yours, Matt Woody. It's the final adventure choice of the day. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Anything you have may get turned over to tomorrow's trip. It might not.
Okay.
We'll find out. Okay, here we go. Would you like to talk about Matt Modica? The chiz. Would you like to talk about Odubel? Or would you like to play dodgeball?
Let's play dodgeball.
Play dodgeball. Okay. Play dodgeball, which leads us into the Dodgers rotation. My question to you, sir, Matt Modica, I want you to rank the Dodgers starting pitchers for the rest of the season, how you would want to own them, not named Clayton Kershaw.
not named Kershaw. One would be Alex Wood. Two would be Kenta Maeda. Three would be Rich Hill. I mean, he probably would be two, but just on the blisters alone,
It's your sequencing.
I'm gonna say, even though he got demoted, I'm gonna go with Urias. I think he'll be back soon. The Dodgers really need this kid to be there. Brandon McCarthy did pitch well, but he's another guy. I just don't have faith in him staying healthy.
So that's five there for Brandon McCarthy. Scott, same question to you. Of course, Brandon McCarthy yesterday, 6 innings, one run, 5 strikeouts, pitched really, really well, and he's been healthy for the most part this year. But we'll see if it can remain. Scott, outside of Clayton Kershaw, rank the Dodgers pitching staff the rest of the season.
Wood, Maeda, Urias,
it could be whoever
McCarthy,
you want.
And who was the other guy?
Rich Hill. And there's yeah. Ryu, too, if you want
to. Ryu's in there. Scott Kazmir's in there. Rank whoever you want.
I'm going to say Maeda.
Okay.
Wood. I would want to rank Ryu, but I just can't trust him. Maeda, Wood. And who else was there? McCarthy.
There's Rich Hill, McCarthy, Urias.
Urias. Hill, McCarthy.
It's not all that different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not a big Rich Hill fan.
I just think Alex Wood is the real deal. The only thing you have to worry about him is his health.
There's a lot of those guys in that list.
I think my head is going to bounce back nicely.
But I'm just saying, if we gave everybody the ample innings right now, including Rich Hill, out of those guys, I think Alex Wood would be the guy you want to own.
All right, Corey, the same question goes to you, sir. Out of those guys, rank the Dodgers rotation the rest of the season.
Clayton Kershaw.
Outside of Clayton Kershaw.
I know.
Who else is there?
I'm going to go Wood, Hill, Maeda. Wood, Hill, Maeda. McCarthy, Urias, and then Ryu.
Interesting. Okay. I think I probably be higher on Brandon McCarthy than you guys. When he is healthy, he pitches well. Big if, big when, got it. 100%. He pitches well, though. He really does. And I feel like Rich Hill, I feel like he's wide open the bullpen at some point, given these blister issues. I don't know. For me, if I had to rank them, and I know I am the low guy on Alex Wood at this table, and I understand that. I've been burned by Alex Wood before, all that good stuff. He has to stay healthy, too, for the record. Yeah. So I will go with Kenta Maeda 1. I will go with Julio Urias 2. I think when he comes up, like, he got bombed twice in a row. I think he's going to be fine. I think towards the end of the season, he's going to be somebody you absolutely want to own. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Brandon McCarthy 3. I'll go Alex Wood 4. And I'll go Rich Hill 5 and Hyunjin Ryu 6. And there you go. So all these Dodger pitchers, kind of where we were in March with them, you throw them into the hat, you pick one out, you hope you get the right one, and that's where we are as well, trying to figure out each day who's going to pitch well. There you go. Justin Bour, by the way, against the Dodgers, his 11th home run of the year. It doesn't stop. Justin Bour, as hot as any hitter in baseball. When we come back, we'll find out what's up next on Old School Fantasy, and I ask the guys the question I've obviously been wanting to ask all morning. What's the deal with Chiz? Stick around. Roto Experts wraps up right after this. It's been in the rotation seemingly all morning, and no one's chosen it. So I'm going to choose it now before the end of the show.
What's this?
Every year, Lonnie Chisenhall gets hot. Every year, he gets on a streak, and every year I pick him up. That day was today. Lonnie Chisenhall, now a member of my GST team. So, is it Matt Modica time to pick up Lonnie Chisenhall everywhere? Is this the streak that Lonnie Chisenhall literally goes on every year?
I think it's the one he goes on every year. I have him in like one or two deep leagues. In a 12-team league, I wouldn't recommend picking him up.
Damn it.
But, I mean, look, unless there's nothing else out there and you're desperate for an outfielder.
Oh, he's good. Lonnie Chisenhall.
He's streaky, and actually the counting numbers haven't jibed with the batting average. In April, he hit .302, and now he's in .239 this month with 4 home runs and 10 RBIs over the last week. .250, 3 home runs, 6 RBIs. He's streaky, comes and goes.
Yes, sir.
You know, try to ride him for a week or two while he's hot now, but he's also playing in a platoon, so.
Every time I think of Lonnie Chisenhall, you know who I think about, right?
Who?
Dr. Roto.
Why?
The Chisholm call. Did you remember that day he went on the show and said Lonnie Chisholm Hall hit multiple home runs today, and Chisholm Hall hit three that night?
Oh, that was that night like Texas or something?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Nice job by Dr. Roto.
He won't let you forget that.
As good of a role, as good of a week that Lonnie Chisholm had, nobody had a hotter week than Jake Lamb, who was just absolutely on fire this past week. He went over 3 yesterday, but Lamb, 385 on base percentage, 288 average. He's just had a tremendous, tremendous year. Jake Lamb has been fantastic, and so was Zach Godley yesterday. I know everybody jumped on the Zach Godley train for the 2-start week last week, and he didn't let you down. 7 innings, 3 runs yesterday. Only struck out 1, which is annoying, but he does pitch very, very well with 2.45 ERA on the season.
Yeah, Lamb has 11 home runs. This was a guy that, when he was in the Pittsburgh system, we heard a lot about it. Struggled a little bit in his first taste of the majors, but really started to show signs last year, and it's turned out to be a real nice bargain this year.
Lamb tacos are magically delicious. And just real quick to throw it out there, Carlos Carrasco is scheduled for a 2-start week. I'm rolling him out there at Cincinnati tomorrow and then Kansas City if he can make it and the weekend.
Mike Foltynewicz scheduled for a 2-start week against the Pirates and the Padres.
Yeah, I like Foltynewicz this week. Yeah. Speaking of the Padres, it was Clayton Richard going in the complete game yesterday. 5 hits, 1 run allowed. He didn't walk anybody, and he sure got 6. Yeah. I always thought Clayton Richard was going to be good.
This is a guy, though, like, the start before this was not good. He alternates bad good starts, it seems. You can't trust him.
Yeah, it's like walking in a minefield.
Yeah, like I said, I always just thought he would wind up being good. Note with the Dodgers here, with Justin Turner on the DL, Chris Taylor is playing a lot. Is Chris Taylor someone we should be talking about?
He's probably going to platoon at second because Logan Forsythe is going to come back, so it's going to be a combination.
Well, he's going to play
Utley
third.
So they're going to use Taylor and Utley both at second.
I'm hoping Taylor gets the...
He's been hitting. You know, there was really no precursor to this at the major league level, but he's been hitting. But his playing time I could cut into a little bit now that Forsythe is coming back, and they might have to use him in combination with Utley.
Modica, like I said, is Chris Taylor somebody we should pick up?
Yes, I picked up multiple shares this weekend.
Okay. On the year, batting 333, OBP is fantastic, 446. Got 5 homers, 16 mm-hmm. ribbies, 16 run scores. Of course, the batter is over 400. But, I think Chris Taylor, definitely a name we should be thinking about in these 15 teams.
One that you certainly put on your long list along with Bradley Zimmer, guys like that.
Agreed. Yeah. Hey, Corey, what's coming up next on Old School Fantasy?
Old School Fantasy coming up. We'll get into this week's 2-turn starters. We'll look at some of the most added and dropped players.
Here you go. Here's this list. The most added players.
I got that right there. Thank you. And then we'll talk some fantasy football. I got some information on LeSean McCoy. I got some information. We already shared that, but we'll do it again. I got some information on Devontae Parker, and it's a tight end in Denver now that's intriguing.
I'm also interested in this Devontae Parker stuff. See if we get back in on that. Also, follow Chris Raven on Twitter. He had a lot of good Falcons notes. You might want to check those out. For Matt Modica, the birthday boy. For Scott the King Angle, and for Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Old School Fantasy is up next. We're back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern. Have a fantastic Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.